She will truly have his heart and his eyes to see his sons and daughters when she looks at his people. She will be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. She will refuse to judge and condemn and do her best to love people back to wholeness. She will be a fountain of mercy and grace and one who will breathe life back into dry bones. She will know that it is the love of God that breaks every yoke. She will be a living epistle, a communicator of love and humility, and will demonstrate the scriptures with kindness and gentleness and compassion. She will give credit where credit is due. She will point others to him. She will give him all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the credit. She will understand fully the truth that is this: if it was not for the grace of God, there I go. That was hard. She will reach to the back row and encourage and minister to the hearts of the women who can't get past the grief and sorrow of their own lives.
Amen.
She will look past the circumstances and situations and appearances that look different than her own to see daughters of the living God who have yet to discover their worth. The new church lady is looking for opportunities to be a blessing instead of looking for opportunities for herself. The new church lady knows that the only way up is down, and she knows that humanity isn't thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself a little less often.
Amen.
Graciousness is her hallmark. Gratitude is her beauty treatment. She is a woman of her word. She is a worshiper in spirit and in truth. She is a prayer warrior and holds trust from others as sacred. She is supportive of others and is not an opportunist. She understands that to become the Proverbs 31 woman, you can't just skip chapters 1 through 30. She is fully aware of her own shortcomings and seeks him daily for his love and his guidance. She recognizes hopelessness and worthlessness in others, but speaks life. She is an excellent listener. She listens with her head and with her heart, and she hears what is not being said. She is a lifter, an encourager, and a hope giver. She forgives fully. She knows that the same grace that was made available to her is also available to everyone else. She does not gossip. She does not constantly brag about good stuff or boast. She just speaks blessing. She sees the best, believes the best, and hopes the best. She places high value on God's people. She invests in the greatest investment in the world, his people. She is known for what she stands for, not what she stands against.
Amen.
But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. James 3:17.
2 weeks ago, I started a series on Christian. What is a Christian? Where is it in the Bible? What is the thought process? And as for 2 weeks I had planned on a certain message for this morning, and that is, what is the sign of a Christian? And yet yesterday morning God transformed, and still sitting there this morning, I wasn't sure where he wanted me to go, and I now know. Because of a phone call I got that this morning, very, very, very early, the person on the other end, someone that attends our church, said, "Preacher, I need you to pray for a family. And I need you to tell Michael before you do a one call that one of his best friends overdosed yesterday afternoon. And that gentleman's name is Ryan Maynor, and I hope you pray for that family. Christian, there's a brand, just like we brand cattle, of what a Christian is in our minds and in our thoughts. We say, this is what a Christian is. And as Chastity read the second part of the blog, Church Lady, please think back to the first part of that blog. And if you weren't here, that's okay. But when we discuss those early church days that used to brand Christian as a term to describe followers of Jesus with dislike, they were called Christians because they disliked them. They were called Christians because they distrusted them. Hasn't changed much today. They were thought of as a knockoff of the Jews that were a cult, so to speak. Similar to today's Christian means a lot of different things, and a lot of Jesus followers want to disassociate themselves with the name Christian. Much similar to the church lady. Christian, the judgmental, homophobic, moralist, who think they are the only ones going to heaven, the ones that secretly relish the fact that everyone else is going to hell. Christian brand is tainted by that Pharisaical, legalistic attitude today. As is our churches, and Christians who have tainted our brand, as we saw somewhat in a video, not that that was false teaching, but with false teaching about grace, about works, about forgiveness, about mercy, about salvation, about security, about holiness, and the list goes on and on and on and on. This morning, I want you to take in your mind what you think the brand Christian should look like, and I want you to compare it to what Jesus said it should look like. First of all, there was a name change. Christ never, one time, called His followers Christians. Not one time. The word's only used three times in the Bible, and as we pointed out 2 weeks ago, the first time was because one of disdain, distrust, dislike, and they were called Christians first at Antioch, and there's a couple other passages that it was used in a favorable context, to where Agrippa said, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian, and then Peter talked about Christians in the book of Peter. John 13, 31 through 35, you can read it if you like. I'm only going to read portions of it. But Christ is speaking, and in the middle of this passage, He made a statement. He said, little children, yet a little while I am with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said unto you, the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. And now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I loved you, that ye also love one another. For by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another. What did He brand His followers in that passage? Christians? Disciples. By this shall all men know you are my disciples. You're my disciples. All throughout the Gospels, you see three distinct groups of individuals in almost every passage, you find that those people that were surrounding Christ were one of three different groups of people. They were disciples. You will see within that group of people, you'll find an inner circle of those disciples. The inner circle, those three, were Peter, James, and John. And then you will find outside of that circle of disciples, those three that are inner people that Christ spoke to, and I'm guessing had a very special friendship. You find a group of 12 that were part of His immediate followers. And then outside of that, you just find this crowd following Jesus who were simply called followers. Some called them people of the way. And so with that, they were not branded Christians. They were branded disciples and followers. And the same today. Christian, which can mean about anything, and most of which has a very negative connotation when you say the word Christian to those that are unchurched. And then you have the followers who are somewhat a saved crowd, that they have a lifestyle that does not identify you as a disciple, and there's been very little change in their life after salvation, after they trusted Christ as their Savior. And then you have the disciples, and those are those that have a relationship. They personally have a relationship with Jesus. They're just a step or two above a follower that maybe got saved and has never had that relationship. And you have this group of disciples, and those are those of you that know Him, you recognize the Holy Spirit. You're kind of on a first name basis, like you are with your friends, and you know yet you have never fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. And by that, I'm not talking about you're not saved, you're not a follower, you're not on your way to heaven. You just haven't surrendered your life to Him. And you've never been, so to speak, on the Mount of Transfiguration where only the three went. And that inner circle group of friends that were Jesus' chosen three. And you know, or you may have used to have been in that inner circle, what you would consider yourself, real, real close to Christ and really much His best friend, but you've drifted away and you've backslid is the terminology that most would like to use with that. And you know Him and you used to be close, and now it's like if you was in Walmart shopping today and you seen Jesus and He didn't see you, you'd turn and go the other way because you don't want to be confronted with the Savior and what He'd have to say to you. So, church attendance really doesn't mean too much to you. Giving and tithing is non-existent to you because you have gotten your finances so screwed up in such a mess you can't give because of the fact you have become so consumed with materialism and your hidden idols that you want to have and the things that you have, and every dime you make goes to pay for those things, and it, you know, really the church will take care of itself and it's doing okay, and you don't feel an obligation to do what God told you to do, not everybody else to do. You don't recognize that you even have a need, and you don't read your Bible because you know it all anymore, and the things are just so peachy in your life and everything is so good, you don't need God, so you don't even pray because you don't have any request. Everything's great. And I know all this Christian stuff, so why read my Bible? You don't recognize your friends and families and your employer and your employees are hell-bound, and that you may be the one standing in the gap, that God called the disciples to stand in the gap in His stead. I hear all the time, well, you just can't get people to come to church. Linda and I have this discussion quite frequently. You can't get folks to Jesus anymore. I agree, if you don't try and you don't talk to them. Well, how do you know? Because when Michael and I go and visit and we listen to folks, it becomes apparent that the people that get saved around here and the folks that are looking for a church and come and visit here are the fruit of those disciples that witness. The problem is not you can't get people to Jesus, and not that you can't get folks to come to church. The problem is not very many Christians are disciples. They're just followers, and they don't witness anymore. And the truth be told, you don't try. I know it works. This thing called witnessing and going and visiting and talking to folks that you work with and folks that you rub shoulders with, because Jesus is not a liar. And the reason that He's not a liar is He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that was not written to the pastors of the churches. That was written to the disciples, those that named the name of Christ. We have this hell-bent given philosophy, well, only the preacher is supposed to do that, when in fact it's the disciples, the followers of Christ, that were supposed to be those that were witnessing. And in fact, those 12 made church the opportunity for you to be here today as to their witness back then. The church has survived because disciples witnessed to other folks. And don't try to tell me that it doesn't work. Don't try to tell me, you say, well, how do you know? Well, just like I said, when we go and visit and follow up on the folks that have been here, we hear, well, Chassie Pennington told me about Jesus and invited me to church. And I hear that Johnny Smith or Miss Linda taught my Bible school class, and Kelly or Michael was at FCA and they were there at my school, or Mark Graham spoke to me, or Everett Black had his finger in my face. And they go on and on and on, the things that we hear, that you that are witnesses out in public, we hear it. And we know, as a result, who's talking about Christ and this church. You see, don't tell me that it doesn't work. And the reason I know that it works is because my Bible is true. And God cannot lie. And my Bible says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You say, well, I didn't know that was in there. Well, you ought to read the book of Proverbs every now and there, because now and then, and blow the dust off, because it is in there. And it's there. And the fact of the matter is, Psalms 126, and here's the big problem, says that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the precious seed being the gospel, not your feelings about everybody in the church and your attitudes, but the gospel, he that takes the gospel shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing their sheaves, people with them. You can call God a liar if you want to, but the problem is not the plan book. The problem is the Christians. The Christians, the followers, have quit being disciples and forsaken the plan book, and not just in attending, not just in giving, not just in reading their Bible, not just in prayer, but in witnessing. It's a non-existent thing. And until every follower in this church, deacons, trustees, board members, teachers, office holders, singers, members, non-members, followers, worshipers, every disciple, again, forsakes all, and begins to become a witness and picks up their cross and follows me, then we will continue along at a snail's pace. We will continue along riding on the back of the 12, just like the early church did, with a group of followers standing back amazed at what's going on and not participating, and fewer disciples will just be following along, and the unsaved continue to go hell bent right on, dropping over the edge every day. It's time that everyone at Big Branch Church takes up their cross and becomes a disciple and follow me, is what Jesus described in Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. If you go read that passage, it's very evident who he was talking about. And the fact of the matter is, that rich young ruler that was went to, that he discussed that with when he said, pick up your cross or take up your cross and follow me, had the exact same problem as Christians do today. He was wrapped up in his materialism and all the things that he wanted and all that his wealth and all that his life was, and could not care whether one person died and went to hell or not. And in fact, you better thank God for mercy and grace, because that young man turned away and did not get saved. And thank God that you maybe did get saved and you have a second opportunity to become not just a follower but a disciple, and maybe step over into the inner circle someday and sell out and take up your cross and follow after him. We think that the fact of the matter is that, well, you're a relic if you believe in soul winning, and you're a relic if you believe in witnessing. Tell that to the Savior that said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel instead of me, because I'm sick of hearing it. It's high time that our friends and our families and that disciples are not looked on as relics of the past. And we, in turn, have done everything in our modern culture trying to replace God's plan of witnessing one-on-one to individuals, and yet it's still His plan, and we've tried to replace it with programs, we've tried to replace it with entertainment, we've tried to replace it with worship, we've tried to replace it with clubs, activities, and everything under the sun. And yet, Christ said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's our job, not just as Christians, but as disciples, as followers of Christ, to take the gospel to our friends and family and our loved ones everywhere we go. And not some obnoxious nose in the air, holier than thou, I'm a church lady, but with love and concern and compassion and feeling and caring. Not beating them up for their sin. Oh, as was me, if not for the grace of God, is what she read. You were once in that state. And if you weren't, thank God that you weren't. But I can tell you, if they had kicked me to the curb because of my sin and would have pushed me out when I was a young person and whenever I first went to church, I'm amazed that they didn't ask us to leave. I'll never forget. I felt so uncomfortable that first time. I go in and here's my brother. We're gone because my mother's drug us by the hair of the head almost. And we're 18, 19, 20 years old. My brother's probably 24 or 25. We haven't been in church for years because my mother, being a single parent, didn't make us go, and she couldn't make us go, the fact of the matter. And so we go out of respect to one service, and he's got a ponytail that he's got tucked in his belt, and I've got an afro that I'll promise you I can make touch on all three sides by teasing it out as I went through that door. My brother smelled of pot the morning that we went into church, and only because I didn't ride with him, I didn't either. And if they had a drop kicked me the way we do someone of that nature, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. It's time that we love those people instead of snarling our nose up at them, because woe is but me if someone doesn't care about them, love them, and put their arm around them. And tell them about Jesus instead of the church. About Jesus instead of the church. You see, Christians is a brand. I can't find it very, very scriptural, being Christian. But what I do find the brand as being scriptural is followers of Jesus becoming disciples. Disciples that care about people. Disciples that experienced firsthand, seen the risen Savior, knew the power of the gospel and how it changed their life, and they become followers that were part of a group called disciples that were inner circle people that died for their faith. And their thoughts and concerns was not all wrapped up in this earth. Because the fact of the matter is, it can leave you instantaneously. And age is no differing, and death is not a respecter of persons. And this addiction that's sweeping across our country, that is in every family sitting in this church, if it's not, it has been, or it will be, can happen at any time. And we have an obligation, a commandment from Christ Himself to the followers of Him, that we are witnesses to those people. And I can tell you, you may have only one opportunity to be that one standing in the gap. Only once. And when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you and you do not respond accordingly and tell folks about Jesus, it may be disastrous. We've got to get back. And if relic is what you want to call what I'm talking to you about this morning, then so be it. But the fact of the matter is, the plan has not changed. The plan book is still written, and it's not going to be done in some other means or method, because it is the message of the gospel that disciples take the message of the gospel to the unchurched and the unsaved. Let's stand.